Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 again. And I'm just going to read the one verse because this is probably going to get no further than this. Verse 6 again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. I talked about that last week. It's not a boast. It's not of anything of ourselves or of myself. We are of God. Our life is from God. Our knowledge is from God through the revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit to us. It is a gift. But we are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. You will hear the truth of God if you are of God. He started out this chapter, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. If you are of God, you are to try the spirits, whether they are of God. And he that is of God heareth us. The next thing he says is the opposite, which is what I want to deal with today. He that is not of God heareth not us. Again, the division is delineated. The division is not made here. The division is shown here. God makes the difference. Paul asked that question, who maketh thee to differ? What have you got that you haven't received? It's a gift. We're not boasting. We're not putting anyone down. It's just a fact. There is a division between those that are of God and those that are not of God. Yeah. It's there. It's real, and it is pertinent. Now, I do want to make one thing clear here. This is not necessarily just speaking of the reprobate. Right. The unregenerate will not hear you either. Even if they are a child of God, a chosen child of God, to whom God has not given life yet, they won't hear you either.
Right, that's what it's talking.
They'll change. Walter and I had some lively discussions before. Now, I have no idea when Walter was regenerated. I have no idea when I was regenerated. But I do know when I first talked to him, he pretty much rejected what I said. Now, he was nice about it, which was one reason I did keep talking to him. He let me. He listened. Some people will listen and some people won't. Yeah. But if they are not regenerated by the Spirit of God, they will not hear you.
Right. Right.
Not about the things of the Spirit of God. And that has been rubbed into me more than once. Let's just put it that way. There is a division among human beings. John states it plainly. And I mentioned last week also, Christ said something about that. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. And to set at variance. And it is a variance. To make a division. You don't bring a sword to sew things together. You bring a sword to cleave things asunder. See, the whole world has this idea that Jesus Christ wants everybody to love one another. We heard it this morning on the radio. The guy was saying, well, if you let me keep my commandments. Never told you what the commandments were. What Christ was talking about, love one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
they see the word commandments, they think the Ten Commandments.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. On the wall behind them, or on the pulpit in front of them, or somewhere in the church. That's what they think. That's what the world thinks. That's the only commandments they know. Christ boiled them down to two and said we couldn't keep either one of them. His commandment is that we love one another as he loved us. Those without the Spirit of God do not understand. Those without the Spirit of God cannot understand. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. And I told you I read something in fiction the other day, and I still think it's an extraordinary statement, especially written by a secular writer. And he was writing something and relating to something that the world and sociology and biology people vehemently sometimes disagree on. What he wrote was, intelligence and education does not make any important difference in human nature. I agree with that statement. Intelligence and education makes no difference in human nature. That's what he said. And that is true. How much he believes it, I don't know. He was using, and it's a valid point, he was using observation of behavior in children. And he was writing about that. Where it doesn't matter if you're poor and ignorant, or it doesn't matter if you're rich and educated, he was using it in the context of there are bullies everywhere. There are rotten, evil little kids. There are. People don't like to talk about it. And especially if a child dies, everything stops. But it's that way if an adult dies too. All of a sudden they're wonderful, helpful people who never hurt anybody in their lives, and God bless them because they've gone to heaven. And the old joke is, and Earl's told it, and I've told it, and Walter's told it, is I was thinking about going up to look in the coffin and see who's in there. Because I thought I might be at the wrong funeral. Human nature never changes. And that man wrote that. I hope he believed it. Because that's a good start. But there's a great debate that rages even now in sociological and in biological circles. And I mentioned it last week, is nature versus nurture. What you are as you are born physically versus how you are educated, how you are brought up, how you are loved as a child. It's a great debate. They debate the importance of genetics as opposed to, and in addition to, upbringing. Now, this is of critical importance and dubious value all at the same time. It is. The scientists and doctors of our day do not understand the addition of a new nature to be possible. So they've kind of left that equation out. Totally. But they will debate forever what you are as you are born as to what you learn as you grow. And then you kind of run into the problems where they don't want to deal with, and I've never read it in books where Walter had talked about it. You know, there's some people that don't learn. There's some people who can't learn. We call them stupid. Ignorance can be educated. Fear can be fought and overcome. But stupid, you can't do a whole lot with. There is no way, for right now, man cannot change the genetic structure of his body or brain unless you count damage from drugs, alcohol, or accident. But that's still not damaging the genetic structure. That's damaging the physical structure. We can't do that as human beings. You know that's scriptural? The comparison of the physical to the spiritual was given in Jeremiah. The leopard cannot change his spots. And the Ethiopian cannot change his skin. Now, this is nothing against the Ethiopian. It's just a question that that's a dark-skinned person cannot make their skin lighter. A leopard cannot change his spots. The comparison Jeremiah used then, he said, well, if he could do that, then you could do good who are accustomed to do evil. There is a human nature, and it is not good. That's what we see here. He that is not of God heareth not us. It is not in man's nature to hear and learn of the things of the Spirit of God. There's no way to change the nature of humans. I did realize, though, Walter, while I was thinking about this, I wrote it down. See, this debate is still going on right now as to the importance of which and how, which is more important, which is less important, which is, you know. There can only be a debate when you leave God out of the equation. That's the only time there is a debate, is if you leave God out of the discussion. Because if you leave God, put God in the conversation, what you're left with is, thus saith the Lord. And scientists hate that. They think they can learn anything. Now they choose not to learn of the things of the Spirit of God because of their foolishness. They are foolishness to them.
To them.
They are not foolish, but they are foolishness to them. To the Jews, to the religious, it's a stumbling block. But to the Greek, it's foolishness. There is no debate when God is involved. There never will be a debate when God is involved. What you have is, thus saith the Lord. Because he is true, and every man, including me, is a liar. Nature and nurture can both affect the behavior of people, but neither nature or nurture make it possible to know God. Those whom the Father has not given life will not and cannot understand. The book is clear. Now, man's awfully muddy, but the book is always clear. He that is not of God does not hear all of us or any of us, because he cannot hear us. And he doesn't want to hear us. We do not speak like the world. That's what it is in verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. There's a difference there. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We do not speak like the world. We do not write like the world. It's not that they don't see us. It's not that they don't hear us. It's not that they don't like us, even though they may not. But it's because of what is said. It is because of whom we preach, that the world will not have it. It is because our speaking and writing reveals that we are not the same. We are different. We have different thoughts and minds and hearts. Our speech is not of the world, and those of the world cannot hear it. And they will not hear it, because they love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
Marvel not if the world hates you. It's 1 John 3:13. John 15:18 said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world will hate you because of Christ. That's all it takes. Now, they may hate you for other reasons that you deserve.
Sure.
I can be obnoxious at times. I don't know, you might find that hard to believe. I can be. I can be incredibly sarcastic at times. And am. Some people don't take that very well. I've been called a smart something or the other. And I told people I made a conscious decision not to be a dumb something or the other. It's the truth. But this is not talking about that.
No.
It's not talking about me. Whether you like me or you don't like me, I don't care. Well, I do care, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I want to know if you like Christ.
Yeah.
I want to know if you like him who saves his people from their sins when he wants to, where he wants to, and how he wants to. And you don't have to be in church. You don't have to be here. You don't have to hear me. You don't have to hear Walter. He gives life where he wants. And then, you'll hear.
Then you'll hear.
Then you'll hear.
Right.
And only then will you hear.
Right.
Because then you are of God.
Of God, yeah.
He that is of God heareth us. It's not me personally, it's his word. But the world hates us, and the world will not hear us. Then this last statement of this verse, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is a blessing that, of course, the world knows nothing about. Mason, we get to see both sides of the argument. We get to see both sides of the argument. We know the spirit of truth, but we also know the spirit of error. The world only knows the spirit of error.
Right.
That's all they know. That's all they got.
Yeah.
We have the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
And we know the spirit of truth because he has been given to us. We are of God. That's how it starts. Guess what? That's how it ends. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how we know. Christ put it this way: he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm sorry, that's exclusionary.
Yes, it is.
That's exclusionary right there, just that one statement. Because that evidently implies, or you can infer, that some people don't have ears to hear.
Right. Right.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Jesus Christ say something like that? Well, it's because no one else can hear except those who have been given eyes to perceive, ears to hear, and a heart that understands. He that has ears... He will hear. Even if you don't want to hear. Because sometimes when you're starting out, Walter, you don't want to know the truth. You will reject the truth. But you can't. Because it is the truth. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are so. He takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. Yeah. He that is of God heareth us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The only people who can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error are those who are of God. That's another difference. Believers know. We know. The regenerated know. The converted know. The sons and daughters of God know. And who knows the spirit of error? Believers know the spirit of error, and the world knows the spirit of error. They just don't know that it is the spirit of error.
They don't know.
Thank you, Walter. That's it. They don't know that it's the spirit of error. They think it's true. So they think we're nuts. Or we're just, you know, they think some of us are simple-minded. I've had people pity me. Where God? It's true. I have had people seem like they just pity me because I believe that stuff. My dad looked at me one time, and he looked at me and he said, well, that's where they got you. You believe the Bible stuff. You're right, Dad. At least he saw that. But I've had other people who are more secularly bent than religious. And so, you believe that, you know Noah's Ark, and Moses and the Red Sea parting, and I believe a whole lot more than that. I believe that life comes from God.
Yeah.
We were watching a show last night. Debbie was. I was in and out on the TV. It's called The Human Family Tree. Well, it's okay. To be honest, there's a point there. Now, I think their time sense is all messed up, you know. But I don't care about their time sense. What they came to look at, and they were looking at, and they went to Queens, New York, and they took genetic swabs from, like, people from Turkey, people from Asia, people from Africa, people from Europe, people from Ireland, people, you know, everywhere. Puerto Ricans and people from America, you know. It's just, they took it, and they were comparing this, and they were looking for these certain markers in the 99.99% of our genetic makeup is the same. It's only 0.01% makes a difference, okay? So that, to me, they're looking for a needle in a haystack. But everything came back to the continent of Africa. That's where life started on this planet. I think that's sort of what this book says. Israel, isn't that kind of around Africa and all that area? They call it the Middle East, I know, but, you know, everything came back to that. They could show that these people went here this many years ago. These people went this way this many years. These people went this way. And some of them went from here to here and some from here to here, and they could tell the difference by the markers. Now, I have no idea whether or not it's true or not, but it all started in one little old place. That's what this book says. And I found that amazing. Now the rest of it, you know, but what they wanted to show is that we were all one big happy family. See, we all came from the same place. We did. But we ain't all one big happy family. Jesus Christ did come to bring a sword. And He did come to set at variance. And He did set at variance. There are those who are of God, and there are those who are not of God. And they don't know the spirit of error. We know the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Why? Paul wrote about it, speaking of a later time, but there's no difference now, to be honest, I don't think. He shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. And there's no way to know the spirit of error unless you know the spirit of truth. There's no way to know what darkness is until you know the light. Opposites. If you were born in darkness and you're living in darkness and you're still in darkness, you don't know anything different.
Right.
That's normal. Mm-hmm. That's the way I was.
Yeah, me too.
They don't know it's error.
Mm-hmm.
They think we're wrong because we're saying something outside of their experience completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because salvation is experienced. This is real. This is reality. It's not making up stuff. I'm not just saying words for my own sake. There came a time when Jesus Christ revealed himself to me, and I know he's true.
Yeah.
I know God is real.
Yeah.
The world doesn't.
The world doesn't. Yeah.
They hope he's real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They think they know him. A lot of them think he doesn't exist, or if he does, he's pretty wishy-washy or, you know, hands-off, that kind of thing. That's not the God of this book. It's not the God of the Bible. In order to know the spirit of error, you have to know the spirit of truth. Therefore, the error is revealed because it goes against the truth. That's why it's error. That's what it's called. That's what it means. We are of God. He that knoweth us heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who have been given the spirit of God know both the truth and the error. That's one of those good and perfect gifts that cometh down from the Father of lights. That's one of the results of that good and perfect gift. We know, only we can know, and we know. We don't know perfectly. We don't know, I swear sometimes I don't know consistently. And there are times I might forget certain parts. At certain times. But I know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so does everyone who is of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's his gift to us. The next verse, John says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And we are of God.
Yeah.
And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The next verse starts that division stuff again. He that loveth not knoweth not God. It's almost like there's a spiritual warfare going on somewhere. Oh yeah, it is here. But we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is a blessing. Because otherwise, we'd still be in ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ignorant for too long. I like knowing God. I like knowing the truth. I like knowing Christ. And that he loved me and gave himself for me. And for all of his children. For all of his people. And he saved his people from their sins. And he gave that offering. He made that offering to the Father, not to me, not to you, not to anybody else. I don't go and bathe in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb was offered, the Lamb's blood was offered to the Father and accepted. And I like that. Walter talked about last. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It's not blessed as the man who's sinless, because of course he is blameless. He is blessed. But he's not me. I sin. But the Lord will not impute it to me. That's the spirit of truth. The spirit of error says different. Excuse me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself for us, for his people. He lived and he died and he rose again so that we do live in him and shall be with him when he comes again. In his name we pray. Amen.